This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
It's Monday, the 26th of May. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. In the first significant development since Cyril's meeting with Trump, the South African government is pushing ahead with a policy directive that provides a workaround to black ownership requirements in the telecommunications industry, aiming to encourage Elon Musk's Starlink and other satellite services to operate in South Africa. A directive signed by Communications and Digital Technologies Minister Solly Malatsi requests that the country's telecoms regulator allow for an equity equivalent program for the industry. Such a program would grant operators like Starlink access to Africa's largest market without ceding ownership. The government had been negotiating a workaround that would overcome Musk's opposition to the ownership rules before South Africa's delegation met with US President Trump. The new rules are meant as a concession as Ramaphosa seeks to mend strained relations with the US and close a trade deal. The equity equivalent plan will form part of the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies medium-term plans. The alternative to black economic empowerment laws, which generally require 30% black ownership in businesses operating in the country, would allow telecom companies instead to invest in projects such as infrastructure, local businesses, digital inclusion initiatives, or research. And that's according to Mahlatsi's policy directive. Analysis of the Cyril-Trump meeting is being offered from every quarter. I've collected a number of opinions, so you can hear all sides of the story. First up, Alex spoke to John Endres, CEO of the Institute of Race Relations.
A nutshell summary probably is that this was a bit of a not a complete win for either side. And I think that President Ramaphosa parried the thrusts of Donald Trump very well. And probably, you know, got out of the scrape with a few bruises, a few knocks, but pretty much intact. And for us to see what will happen next actually depends on what went on in subsequent negotiations behind closed doors. But it was a very uncomfortable encounter for President Ramaphosa. You know, he really was confronted with some of the most egregious failings of the South African government, of the ANC government over the last 30 years. And there was not really a way to get out of it. You know, the cameras were there. There were lots of people around. And I was amazed at the atmosphere of the entire event to see how raucous it was in a noisy, very, very open, very direct. It's something we don't see here very often in South Africa's media space. But just to see these journalists shouting, you know, Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump, Mr. Ramaphosa, and shouting out the points they wanted to raise was quite remarkable.
Was he within his rights to play the video?
Yeah, I think he was. I do think that President Ramaphosa was taken by surprise. He was probably not expecting this to happen. I'm sure he knew that the white genocide issue was going to be raised, the question of farm motive was going to be raised, and indeed it was. And in a sense, the feeling I got from watching this entire interaction was that it was a bit like, you know, if a young dog comes into your home and makes a mess on your carpet. You know, some people will then rub the dog's nose in the mess. And the rug is South Africa. The mess is the murder rate, the low growth rate, the low investment rate, the high unemployment. And the ANC is the dog that's made the mess. And I think that Mr. Trump didn't let President Ramaphosa get away with it. You know, so he would try to walk away in a different direction from the mess. And Trump would keep coming on back to the mess that exists in South Africa.
Well, reading through the research that you do at the IRR and being a think tank and having been around for nearly 100 years, you have a reputation, well-deserved, of being even-handed. There were so many other areas that he could have pressed a few buttons on. 142 racist laws, an economy that has grown at less than the population rate for over a decade, corruption, et cetera, et cetera. It's interesting that he, though, honed in on this emotive issue, perhaps playing to the gallery.
Yeah, I think he probably was playing to the gallery, but maybe also I think his approach to political communication is to be very provocative and to trigger a response. You know, during the interaction, he also made several references to what he calls the fake news media in the United States, saying, you know, they won't cover it. They're not interested in this. And I think, you know, the insight he has had is that if you want to break through, you need to be provocative. You have to be outrageous. And that is what he's done with his focus on South Africa by talking about white genocide, by creating this refugee program. What he's doing is trying to focus people's attention on what he considers to be a bad state of development in South Africa. And this is the hook on which he hangs that message. I think that many commentators get distracted by that, and then they focus on the hook instead of focusing on the message that's being sent. So, you know, lots of commentators that we read in our media, also in some of the US media, will say, but they're not really refugees. It doesn't fit the definition of a refugee, but what about the other people? It's not a genocide. There's no killings going on. Expropriation isn't really a problem. The Expropriation Act is normal. And this is how people sort of try to divert attention from real problems that exist. And Donald Trump's method is to, as one of my friends puts it, to sort of put the dead pig on the table. So you might, you know, have a dead pig somewhere around you and you'd prefer not to look at it. But what Donald Trump is going to do is put it on the table so nobody can look away. And then you've got to deal with it. And that's effectively what he's doing here with South Africa. He's saying there's problems. I'm being very aggressive, very outrageous, very overstated in my sense of concern by saying that, you know, thousands of people are being killed. White farmers are being killed. Their land is being seized. Then they're being executed, et cetera, et cetera. Many of his statements are not factually correct, but that's not the point of them. I think the point of them really is to serve as a hook to make sure that attention stays focused where Donald Trump wants it to stay focused. And at that, it's very effective.
Fikile Mbalula shared his thoughts in an SABC interview that was republished on the ANC My YouTube platform.
It's a great achievement for South Africa. And the president took and his government took a right decision, which we as the ANC supported right from the outset.
When you look at what transpired yesterday, particularly with the falsified claims of white genocide within the country, shouldn't the president have had the stats pocket in hand of the actual crime stats within the country?
The issue about yesterday, Sam Keller, was not really about going head-to-head with President Trump about the falsified thing, because it is falsified. Was to understand, which we now understood, what is basing his falsification on. First, it was unsubstantiated. Those clips about the leader of the opposition and 5 years memory of white Afrikaners or farmers marching alongside the road and with on the side, saying that this signifies the death of white farmers, that showed that the president of the United States was out of depth. He should have brought something to the fore. Secondly, for him to confuse crime to genocide, it's again absurd, because genocide is a political terminology. That means South Africa has got an agenda to extricate or to annihilate a particular race. Then you call it a political genocide, or you call it a genocide. It's a political term. So for him to use that terminology again, it's absurd. So I think all of us would have seen yesterday claims made by AfriForum, started by them, amplified by them. But also, President Trump told us that there are people who are bad-mouthing us, who are very close to him, who are his friends, who are basically white in color. They complain about our laws. They complain about a whole range of other issues that they talk about. And yet, Rupert on the other side said that there is crime. And that crime is black and white. It is not white. White farmers will be affected because they control the land. If you talk about commercial farming in South Africa, is led by white farmers. And if crime statistics in the farms, as long as I was Minister of Police, I went to address them, intensified security arrangement in the farms and all of that, it affects them. And then, but it is across the color line. And that is it. And where perpetrators have been found, many of them have actually been sent to jail. Maybe those statistics were supposed to be counterposed with how many people have been arrested for those crimes.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking, out of the ordinary.
Alex spoke to respected political commentator and regular BizNews columnist R.W. Johnson for his thoughts.
I think Ramaphosa got away lightly, really. Had Trump decided to focus on our contacts with Hamas and Hezbollah, that would have been very awkward. And to explain why our foreign minister phoned them up shortly after October the 7th, and why she went off to Iran and so on, it would have been very, very awkward. And I think it would also have been very awkward to explain why they put well over 100 new racial laws on the statute books into getting to power. And that it is, but I mean, Musk's complaint is largely true. Had he indeed been a black South African, I'm certain that they wouldn't have made any difficulties about Starlink. But none of those things came up. It was all about white farmers. And, you know, Trump has got the wrong end of the stick there in some regards, but he nonetheless, I thought, made some strong points because, you know, he was able to show this field of crosses of dead farmers. And Ramaphosa, in his typical I am shocked voice, said, "Oh, I've never seen that," which I don't think is a good thing for a president of a country to say. It's his country. He should have known about things like that. And, of course, playing the recording of Malema chanting, demanding kill the farmer, etc., it's very weak to say he's just an opposition party. I mean, Trump quite rightly said, "Good heavens, why do you allow someone to keep demanding deaths for people who are being killed in such numbers? And it's shocking, and we wouldn't allow that." Now, there's no good answer to that. Of course it shouldn't be allowed. And, you know, the Constitutional Court has let us all down by okaying it. But all things considered, that was relatively easy for the South African delegation to deal with. And they just talked about criminality, etc. And Ramaphosa kept fairly cool, which was good. And I think that they will feel they got away much less scathed than they might have, frankly. Though I don't think they performed particularly strongly. And, for example, John Steenhuisen not only seemed very nervous, but he several times referred to the union buildings, which an American audience would think must be about the trade union. Nobody outside South Africa knows what the union buildings are. And he also talks about the justice cluster. Now, that is complete gobbledygook for an American audience. He really wasn't thinking who he was talking to. You know, that's for parochial South African consumption. But it's he just hadn't thought about what he was doing. But I think, as I say, they got away with it considering what might have happened.
Chris Stain speaks to United Independent Movement leader Neil De Beer every Sunday. Here's his view on the Oval Office encounter.
The current situation is that they made a massive scenario of saying that they are going to continue with discussions. They loved the meeting. There was no meeting. It was a hiding to hell. It was an absolute slap to us. People that are in there that were supposed to back the president started talking about crime and about things being absolutely out of control. And they want Starlink at every police station in this country. And they would absolutely also love drones. That is what Rupert asked from Elon Musk and from Donald Trump. Chris, this is what we asked for. We admitted that this country is out of control in crime, and we need the United States' help in that. Chris, what a farce. Doesn't help that you unpack it anymore. I just think United States 1 and SA 0.
And South Africa's Minister of International Relations, Ronald Lamola, spoke to Christian Amanpour in Washington. That was directly after the meeting with Trump. Here's an excerpt from the interview on Amanpour and Co.
Indeed, it was not an easy outing. We had expected that it will be robust, it will be engaging, and it will involve facts. So what went through our mind was that we should be able to achieve the end goal. And the end goal was that there must be a reset of engagements between Washington and the government of South Africa. And we believe we achieved that because there was engagement after the Oval Office interaction with the media and the public. There was a deep engagement during lunch to reset the bilateral relations, to engage on issues related to the G20, but also on the issues that impact trade between the two countries, particularly because the tariffs have technically nullified the program called AGOA. So that was our main goal to take forward that reset of the bilateral relations. And we had, as you have heard, our president saying that behind the scene, this matter must be engaged and facts will be put on the table and stats will be provided. As we have already said, in South Africa, it is a tiny, frightening, and unfortunate number in terms of the deaths in relation to farm attacks. About in the last 4 years, 225 farm attacks, 101 farm dwellers who are majority black, 55 farm owners who are majority white. So that is a period of 4 years, and that does not represent a genocide. But it is still unfortunate. It should not happen because any crime, it is a crime. And yeah, that's why the president then stated that we are dealing with a crime situation that we need to respond to, which affects all the population irrespective of race. Mm-hmm. And blacks are the most affected by this crime. Mm-hmm. So this also became a discussion during lunch.
Alec also spoke to Corne Mulder, leader of the Freedom Front Plus, who says the meeting was premature and that a lot more work should have been done resolving issues beforehand.
The international narrative now is that it was an ambush, that the president and the delegation were ambushed by President Trump. No, it's not true. You cannot be ambushed if you've got the facts on your side. Let's say you were doing the right things in South Africa and President Trump played that video. Then the response could and should have been, no, Mr. Trump, you are not correct. On the 5th and that date, I reprimanded and dissociated myself from Julius Malema with those chants. Me and my government is not going to stand for that, and we've taken steps. No, Mr. Ramaphosa, you're wrong. We have declared farm murders a priority crime. No, Mr. Trump, you are wrong. That is not a gravesite. This is a demonstration of people that have been murdered. I'm very concerned about that. No, Mr. Trump, you know, I visited Nampo Thursday last week. There's the Wall of Remembrance. I attended there. I went there to lay a wreath. I'm working with the Afrikaner people to solve this. If he could have replied in that fashion, there was no ambush. But if you can't reply positively on any one of those statements, then you should not claim that you've been ambushed. No, you've been found out. That's what's happened.
Just as far as the whole context of the conversation is concerned, the fact that you had the leader of the, or the former leader of the opposition, who was referred to as my Minister of Agriculture, who then rode to the defense to a degree of the ANC, was that something that stuck with you, stuck in your craw, or do you think that this is just being part of the GNU, you got to do it?
No, you can't do that. You have to remain true to who you are, and if you really represent Afrikaner people, you've got to speak up and speak the truth. You cannot just go along and being used by the president, with all due respect, to set out a certain narrative that everything is just fine and there's no problem. I was in a different program earlier this week on Sunday evening, and I was asked what I think the message should be when the delegation goes, and I state my response was, the whole thing is premature. The president should not go at this stage. And the reason for that is, if South Africa and the United States had normal diplomatic relations, yes, that's fine. But we all know what a terrible state the relations between the U.S. and South Africa is at the moment. And if that is the case, you don't send the head of state, or the head of state don't go. You first work behind the scenes on an official level. You try to iron out all the differences. You try to give context if there are misunderstandings. You negotiate. You are preparing everything. Only after that, then the heads of state come together, sign the necessary agreements or documentation, and have a public situation in front of the media. But by going at this stage was absolutely, I predicted last Sunday evening, is premature, and it may end up in a diplomatic catastrophe, and that's exactly what happened.
Julius Malema has responded to Donald Trump's comments at a recent press briefing. Let's dip into that.
I'm not fearful. As a revolutionary, part of being killed is one of those honors you must wear with pride. But I'm not going to be reckless. When he says to Ramaphosa, why is this man not in jail? Why are you not arresting this man? He simply means, why are you not killing this man? Because this man wants to kill white people. That's what he believes. And imperialism, especially the USA, it makes such remarks meaning something different. If you remember how they killed Gaddafi, they said no fly zone and any other necessary means in Libya. And that meant Gaddafi is going to be killed. And that's how they took care of that situation in Libya. So we know imperialism kill. The president of South Africa was unable to defend the constitution of South Africa to say, this thing that you are accusing him of and saying to us, we must arrest him. Firstly, we are a constitutional democracy, and we are governed by the rule of law. The judiciary has expressed itself on this matter, including the highest court in the land. If I arrest him for that, then I will be violating the constitution of South Africa, which I must respect. He failed to do that. So when a president fails to do that, you have a responsibility to defend yourself. And that's exactly what we are doing. The EFF is more powerful now. Everybody else, all of you, including Samkelo, you said EFF is dead, EFF is irrelevant, and all of that, only to find it in the Oval Offices and to find it in the White House. And for a USA president to argue with the South African president who's in denial, who says this is just a small party, it's so insignificant, he says that's not a small party. This party can gather 100,000 people under one roof in a stadium where I can't even see a single empty seat. You can't say that is a small party. We are not a small party. That's why imperialism is very scared of us.
That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more content, local and global. Thanks as always for joining us.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.